was putting together care packages for the military working dogs in Afghanistan. So, ding, 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 veterans, dogs, I'm there. So I put together, with the help of friends, Pet Food Express here in Clayton donated stuff.
Really?
And I put together 3 care packages with Kongs. Dog owners, you know what Kongs are. That's what they were asking for. Kongs, treats, little booties for their feet. Because you don't think about it. Those poor pups are walking around on 130-degree ground. So they asked for these little booties for their paws. And I'm going to keep it going. I'm now in contact with Blue Star Moms here in Contra Costa County.
Wow.
And there is an organization called Pets for Vets that's statewide. And vets, the vets that have PTSD, dogs help them. So I'm just going to keep it going.
It's that is awesome.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. Woo! You got to love it, right? First of all, thank you for serving. But we got to give a big hoo, hoo, hoo for the dogs in Afghanistan. Sorry, I had to do that one. That is really cool. I love it. All right.
Hi, I'm Claire. And if you don't already know me, I'm like a big advocate for the ocean and whales. And it was really hard to decide what to do. So I just listened to God. And then like 2 days ago, I decided that I would adopt a whale for the church because it could be a symbol. It could be a symbol for how we should protect the earth that God gave to us. And I have the. And her name's Heaven, and she's a humpback, and she lives in Hawaii. So this is a reminder to protect our earth and to protect heaven.
Wow, very cool. I love that. That's awesome.
Hi, my name is Julie, and God put on my heart a burden for victims of human trafficking. And there's a local organization, Pillars of Hope, that I had been checking out. And I had started attending their meetings, and it was just super eye-opening to the plight that these people are under and the reason that they stay. They're frightened into submission. And so even when you try to help them, they may react as though they want to stay, even when they don't. So I connected with the founder of Pillars of Hope. And God gave her a very clear vision of that she was to build a restoration house for victims to help them integrate back into society and also to receive Christ-centered healing because they need to know that he loves them and treasures them. So I had all kinds of ideas. I love helping organizations like this. And she said, and so we started a Facebook campaign and encouraged people to match the $100. And we received a few donations of $25, several of them. And then we're going to have the board do the same thing. So it'll continue to multiply. And then all these ideas I had, she said, you know, we really need a director or someone else on our board of directors. So after prayerful consideration, I'm actually going to be on their board.
Nice.
And I'm going to continue. Yeah, so it took kind of a funny turn, but yeah, so it'll continue for years, hopefully, yeah.
That is awesome, yeah. Talk about fruit, wow, very cool.
Hi, I'm Amanda Anzini. God put on my heart, he's put on my heart since I was in my early 20s to feed people, but in this case, I wanted to help the homeless with this money, and it took some very much back and forth, but I created these little bags, that's what I feed some money for. I work in San Francisco, and there's a ton of homeless out there, so I feed 2 to 3 people a day. I found people.
Wait, a day? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Lots of homeless out there. I found people going through garbage bags looking for food and have given them this instead. I've been worried people wouldn't react well, but everyone's been thankful, and it's nice getting to connect with the community out there. So hopefully I can figure out a way to help in Conquer too, but still working on that part.
Amen. Well, I'd love us to just, woo, yeah, give it up. Real briefly, I'd like us to just pray that God would bless these ministries. So whichever one you kind of tend to really resonate with, it might be the homeless, the whales, the human trafficking, the vets, dogs, or the blind, the Ricky, thank you, from Concord. But whatever it was that you resonated with, would you just pray for that specific as I lead us in prayer? Lord Jesus, we did all of this because we had a kingdom assignment to be fruitful and to plant seeds of the gospel. And the gospel can look all kinds of different ways, but it all comes down to this one thing, you. So we pray, Jesus, you would be glorified and exalted in each of these five kingdom assignments that we heard about, as well as all the kingdom assignments we've heard about this month. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity that Pastor Sean brought to us. And we pray, Lord, great fruitfulness in all of them in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, you may take your seats. And now I'd like to, the last thing I want to do is just take that as a springboard, as what a great example of people who said, God, you gave me something, and I want to use it for your kingdom purposes. And all of us have been given financial resources. And I'd like to pray now, because I know all of you have prepared, you've come prepared to give your morning tithes and offerings. And I'd like you to just join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have caused all good things to come towards us. And everything we have has come from a gift from you. And so we give back to you what you have given already to us. And we ask that you would use our tithes and our offerings to extend the goodness of your kingdom in the name of Jesus. As we release these things, these financial treasures, Lord, I ask that you would do two things. That you would cause it to cause a great harvest of righteousness to abound through this place called Clayton Community Church. But I also ask, Lord, that you would pour back into each and every one who gives this morning the simple truth of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, we would have an abundance for every good deed. So, Lord, receive as an act of our worship to you our tithes and our offerings. And I pray, Lord, as Pastor Sean comes up, that you would anoint him and help our ears and our hearts to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. In the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen? Amen. Ushers, would you come on forward and receive our morning tithes and offerings? And Pastor Sean, would you come and share your message with us?
I guess he's no worship song. Is there a worship song? Oh. I kept waiting for the worship song, and then I realized, I don't know if I speak well, you're going to give more? I wasn't quite sure what to do with that. But good morning, everybody. Well, this is a unique offering time. It seems like the offering of silence. And yet, you know, it was interesting to me. You know, the people who are up here on stage with their kingdom assignments, every one of them at one point said to me, man, I just sweated this out. And I just prayed about what I should do with the money God had given me. And I thought, how amazing that is, because I wonder, God's given us all money, right? I mean, and do we take it that seriously? And it was just so fun to hear each and every story, because these are things, I don't know about you, I never would have thought to save a whale or a vet dog or, you know, I mean, some of these other things, I mean, to go with the homeless and or just reach out to someone who just would be overlooked. And it just struck me so much as I was hearing that. This morning, how grateful I am that God is using people in this church to do things beyond anything I could have hoped or imagined. And then just to have Mary honored today, that was a big deal, by the way. Mary's one of the best children's directors we've ever had in this church. I have to be careful I say it because my wife was one of the children's directors in this church. And she agrees with me, so that's a good thing. And just to watch her just so classy and how she, and the only reason she left, she says, you know what, I feel like God wants me to spend more time with the homeschooling with my kids. And so that was a hard decision, but I'm glad your kids won out. And so, I don't know, it's just, I'm amazed at just how God uses people. So here's the thing. Today, what I want to share with you is a confession that I've sinned, and I just want to let you know that. Now, you're all saying, oh, good, something. I like that. Playing with my head a little bit, aren't you, Keith? So just so you know, I don't have anything big. I know you're waiting to say, he robbed a bank. No, I didn't do that. But you know, here's the thing. I can tell you this past week, there have been times when I've been impatient. There are times when I've been judgmental. There are times when my words could have shown much more love. There are times when I did not take opportunities to speak truth or to help someone in need. And I could go on and on. Now you might say, no big deal. You didn't rob a bank. You didn't have an affair. You didn't, you didn't walk through the streets raging drunk this week. Here's the thing. The Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I can do one of two things when I fall short of what God wants me to do. I can just blow it off and say, no big deal. Everybody does it. Once won't hurt. Your mother won't never find out, right? I mean, and we know all the excuses, don't we? I can just become complacent in the things that I do or don't do that don't honor God. Does it make sense? Or I can say, God, I think that the reason that you want me to be aware of sin is because I could do better. And I just know that for me, I'm walking a fine line here this morning. Because on the one thing, I don't want you to become so obsessed with your sin that you think you will never be acceptable to God. On the other hand, I don't want you to ignore those things that you know are dishonoring to God and yet don't take seriously. And so that's the line we're going to walk today. Because I think we do things we know that are wrong, and yet so often a time, because nobody else cares, we just say, no big deal. And just so you know, this is not one of those turn or burn messages. I always love that, you know. I don't know if any of you grew up in that type of church. Anybody? Just out of curiosity. Yeah, and you're still here. That's great, you know. Because what is it, you know? The pastor comes and he just bawls you out for your great grievous sins and then just says, good luck. And so here's the thing. I'm not here to condemn, to judge, but I am here to say God takes sin seriously. And now you got to decide what you want to do with that, okay? And so here's the thing. I think in the church, we have to address the difficult realities, the things that we do that hurt God, whether it's gossip or with our words or with our actions. I mean, the list could go on and on. But we have to address those difficult realities, because I think that if we don't, we create a wall between us and God. And when we do that, we don't hear God. And I don't think God can bless us if we keep walking in sin. And we are at such an incredible point in the life of our church. And I think that each one of you is at this incredible point where God wants to use you. I mean, I just saw five cases of it up here, right? God wants to use you. And yet, if you don't address the sin in your life, I don't know if you'll ever get to realize that to its fullest potential. Does that make sense? And so I want to read to you one of the harshest stories in the whole Bible. It's about a guy named Achan, and by the time the story's over, he's Achan, okay? And so because I want to give you a little background here, right? Okay, so here's the thing. The people of Israel on a roll, man, they have gone to the promised land. God has said, you're going to defeat your enemies, and they are cooking. I mean, there's nothing in their way. And so victory after victory, Jericho has just been defeated. And God says, look, all I want in return is I want you just to obey my commands. Seems pretty simple, right? Well, maybe not. Let me read to you from Joshua chapter 7. You read the story, you go, holy smokes. But here, let me read it to you because you'll see why. It says, the Israelites, after all these victories and after God did all these things, the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Okay, Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. Now, what does that mean? Is that when they defeated Jericho, there were all these valuable things that came along with that, right? Jewels, silver, gold. And God says, look, I want you to give the best of this. I want you to put it in the treasury, not because God needed it, right? See, that's the point. God doesn't need necessarily our wealth, but it was a way to honor God, to say, God, you get the first fruits of everything I have. And isn't that interesting? We just took an offering, right? And what we do that today, right, with the offering. We say, God, look, you know, you've blessed me. I've got money that I didn't have, and I want to use the best of that for you, the first of that for you. And so, you know, and that's how we approach offering, right? We either give God first and then trust him to provide, or we wait to see if there's any leftovers and we give to him afterwards. It's up to you how you want to do it. But let me tell you, here it didn't work out so well. And so they it says, in regard to the voted things of the tribe of Judah, they took some of them. And so the Lord's anger burned. By the way, you do not want the Lord's anger to burn, right? That's serious against Israel. And now it's against all of Israel because of one person's sin. Isn't that interesting how one person's sin affects us all? And now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven. Now remember, Joshua's not even aware of this, right? To the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And when they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men. Remember, this is a million people in the people of Israel. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. Do not worry all the people, for only a few men are there. So about 3,000 men went up. This should be easy, easy peasy, right? Went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. I mean, what happened? We were supposed to get this promised land. What happened? And now they're getting beat up and killed. And then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground. That's what they did in those days as a sign of grieving. The ark of the Lord, before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, oh, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us in the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Sounds familiar? Oh, God, why? Oh, wham. Okay, if only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what can I say? Now that Israel has been routed by its enemies, the Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they'll surround us and wipe out. You can just hear it. Right? Wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. Emphasis mine, right? What are you doing on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. And that is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoured to destruction. Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord takes shall come forward, clan by clan. The clan that the Lord takes shall come forward, family by family. The family that the Lord takes shall come forward, man by man. And he who is caught with the devoted things shall be destroyed by fire, along with their belongings to them. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was taken. The clans of Judah came forward, and he took the Zerahites. And the clan of the Zerahites came forward by families, and Zimri was taken. And Joshua had his family come forward, man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, the son from the tribe of Judah, was taken. And then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to God, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them, and I took them. and they are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers. They ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent. They brought them to Joshua, and all the Israelites spread them out before the Lord. And then Joshua, man, I don't even want to read this, but I'm going to. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys and sheep, his tent, and all that he had to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all of Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remain to this day. And then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. And therefore that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. It's a great bedtime story for your kids, by the way. Johnny, are you lying to me? Let me read you a story. Okay, Mom. Okay. So here's the thing. What does God ask of us in order to bless us? I mean, it's only one thing. In order to bless, he requires our obedience. You see, when you think about that, that's it. That's all he asks. He says, look, you know what? I have so many great things in store for you. And all I want you to do is just honor me. That's all. And so this is what he does. So they give the first fruits because it's an issue of honor. Again, God doesn't need it, but he asks of us to have our hearts in the right place. And what trips us up every time from God's blessings? It's sin. I mean, you think about it. Okay, so here's the thing. Israel had it all. Achan was part of this family of God where everything was taken care of. The needs were met. All he had to do is trust and obey, and yet he saw something, right? And he wanted it so bad. And so he decided that doing what God expressly forbid was okay. Was okay. Now here's the question, first question I have for you. Why do you think God held all of Israel responsible for one man's sin? That's a scary question, by the way. It really is. Because you say, why my brother's keeper? Well, apparently yes, right? Because you see, here's the thing. We are the body of Christ. And when one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member sins, we all suffer. When one member rejoices and does good, we all rejoice with them, and we all get to be a part of that. And so that's why 1 Corinthians says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. For if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So let me just say this. If someone sins, do we just turn the other way and just ignore it? Or do we think that, or do we go the opposite stream to think that we're on the purity patrol, right? And just everything we're going to, take apart. And I don't know if either one is the answer, but I do know this. I do know this. When someone is being disobedient to God, we can't just turn the other way and pretend like it's not happening. And surely this has got to be a case of that. See, what is sin? Sin is missing the mark. It's breaking of God's commands or a moral principle. It's especially through a willful act. It's trespass. And I looked up the word trespass. To trespass is to walk willfully off the path. I mean, isn't that the way it is? I mean, the warning is ignored. The signs are posted. It's clear. Don't do this. And yet Achan coveted. He took, he stole, he lied, he hid. He knew it was wrong, and he said, screw you, God, I'm doing it anyway. Why do we stray? Why do we stray? Because we covet. We don't think that God will provide. We think we deserve better. We're dissatisfied with life and what we have. And so we want what someone else has, whether it's a possession or a spouse or, it goes on and on. We want what we don't have, or we want what somebody else has. J. James or Luke said it this way. Jesus said in Luke, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And you see, here's the thing. Achan just saw this, and he saw this robe, and before he didn't even know it existed, and now he wanted it so bad, he would do anything to get it, even lie to God, even put his people in harm's way, and his family, and his kids. It didn't matter to him. You know, I was reading this again these last few weeks, and one of the things that came up, it just kind of hit me hard, is what's a leader's responsibility in things like this? Because I know a lot of you here are in leadership positions, whether it's at work or in the church or whatever, and I think this is a wake-up call for leaders to have a responsibility. Did you see where it started in this story? Where it kind of went a little, it got a little tweaked? Because the thing is that in this passage, before Joshua went into any battle, he inquired of the Lord. He said, "Should I do this? Lord, is this what you want?" And before he made any big decision, he went to the Lord and he just said, "Lord, what do you want me to do here?" And this was the one time he says, you know, they say, "Hey, we can take these guys. No problem. Not a big deal. You know, don't even worry about it." And so what does Joshua do? He doesn't ask the Lord. He just says, "Sure, go ahead. Whatever. Not a problem. But just be back by supper," right? And what happens? They come back and 36 of Joshua's friends are dead. That must have been a hard moment for a leader. And I think the thing is that as a leader, first we need to seek God before we step out to take on a new challenge. And then we need to keep perspective on God's promises. Did you notice where Joshua went after that? "Oh no, oh no. We should have been better back off in Egypt." Are you kidding? You're still saying that 40 years later? You're not serious. You're not. Are you serious? I mean, but don't we do that, right? Okay, so let me just tell you that I can tell you that I have relationships that have gone incredible places, right? God has done incredible things, and yet when I get worried about something, I start to play the old tapes in my head, right? You know, maybe it's not real. Maybe it's not happening. Maybe, you know, so what do? I go back and I cling to it and I whine and I complain about something that's not even real, right? Okay, and so here's the thing, is that Joshua, you know, he gets a setback and all of a sudden he throws everything out, right? He throws, I mean, he had just seen God do so many incredible things and God was doing so much. And so Joshua just loses all perspective and he says, "Oh, we're in trouble. We might as well, God, why would you even do this? You obviously don't love us." And like, whoa. Why do you go there? Why do you go there? You know, see, the problem is not as it always appears. And that's another thing for leaders. You know, when there is a problem, what's the root? What's the root? You know, see, this wasn't about God's error. God didn't screw up. It wasn't about God's reputation. It's our lack of trust and faithfulness. And so God is pretty straightforward. I mean, listen, he says, the Lord says to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down your face? Israel sinned." In other words, God's saying, get up, grow up, deal with the problem. Israel sinned. That's what this is all about. And then it was really interesting. So Joshua now knew that he had to go deal with some sin. God was pretty clear. And so then Joshua gets it right. Before he goes to this place where he's got to act in judgment, he goes and makes sure his own heart's right with God. Now, I don't know about you, but there are so many lessons here for leadership, right? I know that if I have to confront someone, because the Bible talks us about speaking truth and grace, right? That if I have to go confront someone, I want to make sure that my heart is squeaky right with God. Because here's the thing. Whenever I have to confront a situation, sometimes I'll have to confront someone on something that's pretty hard. And one of the first things people always say, they never say, "Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you so much." I can't think of any time where they've done that. But I can tell you a lot of times she says, "Well, what about you? What about your sin?" And yeah, no, it wasn't pointing on you, Chris. I'm sorry. Don't stone me. No. No, what about your sin? And then all of a sudden, I'm just going to keep looking around, not focusing on any one person. Everyone's getting a little nervous here this morning. Not so good. Okay, so, but, you know, and when they say, "Well, what about you? What about your problem?" And I can say, well, you know what? I've got a lot. If you want, we can set up an appointment and we can talk about my problems, but today's about you. But I'll tell you, I have to go in that situation. I have to make sure that my heart's right before God before I do that, right? And that's the thing is, finally, Joshua gets it. And he calls all the people, says, consecrate the people. What does that mean? It means set yourself apart. Make yourself holy. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to be a hard day. It's just going to be a hard day. By the way, it doesn't mean that God no longer loves us. It doesn't mean that we are all of a sudden on God's forever bad list. It means that tomorrow is going to be a hard day. And so, boy, we better be ready. We better have our hearts right, because we aren't going to be able to deal with our enemies until we remove it. That's the hard part of this story. And so here's the thing. When are you most vulnerable to temptation? Well, the truth is, oftentimes we're most vulnerable to temptation after a great success. There's a celebration, and we think we're invincible. And so we're alone, we're throughout accountability, we forget who the giver of all good things is. Maybe we're tired, or we're stressed, or we're angry, and so we leave the door open. We live life apart from God, and we become overconfident. And this is what Achan did. He started to go his own way. And you see the progression here? It's kind of scary. It goes from the eyes to the heart to the hands. And this is what, when he was finally confronted, he says, when I saw the plunder, and he talks about all these wonderful things, I coveted them. I coveted my heart. I wanted it. I wanted something that I knew I didn't have to have and shouldn't have. And then I took. I took that which wasn't mine. See, it begins with the eyes, it goes to the heart, and it comes out in the hands, with the hands. I love the way James says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death. Now I want to be real careful here, because I don't want you to walk out of this room thinking, you know, boy, something's wrong in my life, it must be some terrible sin. Because I've seen people do that before. I've seen churches do that before. You know, you're going through a hard time, and so people then start assuming there must be sin in their life. You get a sickness. There must be sin in your life. You lose your job. There must be sin in your life. And you know what? That is not always the case. Now, there are times it is, and we have to ask ourselves, what's going on here? What's going on here? And I think we make the mistake of thinking, when things are wrong, that either God does not love me or I must have done something wrong. At the same time, here's the flip side. Here's the flip side. We wonder why we're not making progress. We wonder why we're not hearing from God. And maybe it's because we're not owning the things in our life that are dishonoring to Him. And we hide them in our tent. You see, the consequences of this, you look at this, it says, man, this sounds pretty harsh. And here's the truth. It is. It is harsh. I mean, God takes sin seriously. Achan didn't come forward voluntarily. He had 7 opportunities to come clean, and he never did until the very end. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And so we have this tension. We have this tension. On the one hand, we hear the words of Galatians, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And on the other hand, we see the incredible nature of the cross. You see, I tell you, there are a couple things I don't like about this story. There are a lot of things I don't like about this story, right? The first is this, is that I just know that when I sin, do I really think that others will not be affected? You think it's possible to commit a sin that affects no one but yourself? See, the sad part is the ripple effects of our sin hurt our families and our church and our community. I mean, what does the Bible talk about? The sins of the fathers that go forth to the third and fourth generation, right? And so if for nothing else, for the sake of your family. You can't keep doing the things that you're doing. And so the question I have to ask myself, what do I have hidden under my tent? We may not like the answer. But here's the thing I can tell you. You can keep going down that river called denial, right? And just pretend it's not there. And you can keep doing your thing and wondering why you feel ashamed or distant from God, why you've lost your passion for Him, why things aren't happening for God's kingdom more. Or you can say, Lord, I need to make this right. Now, here's the thing, okay? I'm really only just addressing this side of the room. No, that's not true. That's some of you might be thinking, wow, who's on, now everyone's looking, who's on that side? Oh, it must be the wisest. Okay, so, no, that's not what I'm sorry. I don't know why you were just sitting there so nicely and just, okay, so just so you know, this half, okay, guess what? You've sinned too. By the way, this half, guess what? You've sinned too. Pastor, you've sinned too. The Bible says we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So let's just be honest by that way. By the way, church is not a place for perfect people to gather. If it was, you wouldn't be here. Okay? If it was, I wouldn't be here. But thank goodness that right now we need to know that when we sin, there might be consequences for our actions, but we are not put to death. See, this is the whole purpose of the cross. This is the glory of the cross. Jesus died to take the punishment for the things you've done wrong. Jesus gave His life for the things that I've done wrong. And so when we sin, the Bible tells us that we have someone who we can turn to, who understands, someone who paid the price for us, and someone says, look, this is why I did this, so that you would not be put to death forever. Oh, I thought you were about ready to say, share something. But, okay, and so here's the thing. Listen to these words in Romans chapter 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, that's us. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. For you, for me. Oh. You mean I don't have to be stoned after church today? No. We don't do that anymore. I'm sure glad we passed out those rocks a couple weeks ago and not today. I was thinking about that. Whoa, that was good. 1 John says this, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And then 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and will purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, God's calling each and every one of us to repentance and purity, so that through the power of the cross, He may cleanse us and bless our efforts once again. Let me be really clear with this. I'm going to say this twice. You cannot stand against your enemies until you stand against sin. Let me say that again. You cannot stand against your enemies until you stand against sin. So I love the way the Message translation said it. When Joshua realized what had happened, God just says to him, get started. Purify the people. Tell them, get ready for tomorrow by purifying yourselves. For this is what God, the God of Israel, says. There are cursed things in the camp, and you won't be able to face your enemies until you've gotten rid of these cursed things. You see, God is desirous to bless, but He says, I cannot bless sin in your camp. But here's the good news today. God is a God of second chances. And you know what? I don't know all that you're going through. It might be something that's an easy fix. I doubt it, to be honest. I mean, you might have to go back and kind of suck it up and ask someone to forgive you today. You might have to start the road on maybe some changes in some habits that are destructive. I know every Sunday night at 7 p.m., we've got an AA meeting right? Maybe tonight's the first night you go to that. I don't know. I'm not going to go around and try and figure out what everyone's sin is, right? I got enough to worry about on my own, you know? But I do know this. I want to see God victorious in my life and in your life and in the life of this church. And because of that, now's the time to address our sin so that we will not be defeated in this such important cause of seeing people come to know the Savior of the world. So here's what I want to do. You see, I thought it was just interesting that today was Communion Sunday. I just think that's so great. Because here's the thing, we can come now and we can receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, we can say, Jesus, I accept your sacrifice for my sins, and I am so grateful. And I think with communion, we do that. But before we can take communion, I think we need to make things right. And so what I we were talking about this even this morning, because I've still been mulling it in my head of how it's the best way to do it. And this is what I want to do. I want to ask all the people who are going to serve communion to come on up. And then I just want to pray for you. And this is what I would like to ask you to do before you receive communion. If there's something you need to make right with God, that you do it today. Okay? And if you need our help in praying with you for that before, if you just say, I don't know if I can do that, if you want someone to pray with you, just we'll when you come up to the line here, if you want to pull one of us aside, then the other person can serve, okay? But I think that before we take communion, before we receive the forgiveness of Christ, we need to confess our sins, okay? And so let me just share with you what Jesus said to his disciples, and then I want to pray for you, and then I want you to pray before you receive communion. And we'll have people in every corner, so you can just go to the corners closest to you. I think we have a gluten-free station over here, right? Kind of awesome. Okay, but let me just start with this. You see, on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and after he broke it, he said, this is my body, which is given for you. And in like manner, he took the cup. He says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As long as you take this bread, you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Oh, my friends, these are words to live by. And I am in awe that God would love us that much, that he would take the punishment for the things we've done wrong so that we wouldn't have to end up like Achan. And you have an opportunity to break the chains that are on you and for your children and your grandchildren and their children. I mean, this is how important this is. We have to take sin seriously. I think today's a good day to start if we haven't already. So by the way, this won't be the last time you pray for God's forgiveness, just so you know. It won't be the last time I pray for God's forgiveness. But oh, how grateful I am that I can keep striving for God, and when I don't do it right, I can seek his forgiveness, and he will receive me and welcome me just as he welcomes you. So I just want to pray for you. And I also realize, too, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, you're probably going, wow, these guys don't mess around here. I mean, I just thought I was coming for the food. I didn't know. And if you say, I'd like Jesus in my life, I've never asked him to come in. You know what? I want to pray for you, too, and just let's make that right, too. Okay? So let me just pray. So, Elvis, why don't you just all go to the corner? Patty, okay. Either way. So, Lord Jesus, thank you that we don't have to just lose our lives because of sin. Thank you for the sacrifice you gave on the cross so that we might be forgiven. And if you're here today and you say, you know what, I've never accepted Jesus. I've never asked him to be my Lord and Savior. And that's what I want. Would you just raise your hand so I would know that? The right now, I would just like to ask you in the quietness of your hearts too, to say, Lord, here's where I've fallen short this week. I need to make it right with you. And would you just take a few moments and just ask God for his forgiveness before you take communion? And then when you're ready, and only when you're ready, go to one of these four corners and receive the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has to offer you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Amen. Come when you're ready.
Upon those shoulders, I see.